you doing there, David? What's going on in your life, man?
Well, I guess we're in our fourth year of documenting local black history and local soul music and the film that we're making about your history. So we're actually going to play some of your earliest stuff.
Wow.
That was first on television back in 1967, nationally broadcast on Let's Go. And we're going to play some of your earliest performances. But first, we've got Mr. Bill Withers. And what does Bill Withers mean to you?
Lean on me when you're not strong. And I'll be your friend.
Yeah, that's what I think of. Bill Withers was one of my favorites. He was the greatest of all time. He could play with his guitar and entertain you all night. You know, no drums. He was the drums.
Make a Smile for Me. Do you know this one, Mike?
I'm not as aware of Make a Smile for Me as some of the others.
Yeah.
But Bill Withers had always been an artist who did not take any stuff. He had a big fight with Clarence Avant, one of the executives at Sussex Records, which tried to short shrift his career. But he ended up on top. And, well, like the man did in Living Color and those skits, he wrote a song about it, and here you go. Wow.
Well, Bill Withers today completely gave up on the music businesses and so far has not been seduced into reviving his career. But here he is at the peak of his career back in the early to mid-70s.
Make a smile for me. Lately I've been so lonely, and a smile from you might make these blues go away. Stay a while with me. Can't you tell I've been lonely, and a smile from you might make it a nicer day. Close your eyes and dream of a Sunday place. Watch the world when you smile. Stay with me and smile at me, sunny face. Chase the clouds away with your smile. Make a smile for me. Lately I've been so lonely, and a smile from you might make these blues go away. Stay a while with me. Can't you tell I've been alone? And a smile from you might make it a nicer day. Close your eyes and dream of a sunny place. Watch the world light up when you smile.
Is that like classical music meets soul?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, no, Bill Withers, you know, he's got unknown songs like that that are almost as good as his well-known. The only thing is I'm kind of sick of some of his really biggest songs. I mean, not sick. I've just heard them too much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not so well-known.
Yeah, he made his millions on all his songs.
Yeah, well, his attitude when you see a documentary about him is, you know, he just never wants anything to do with the music business again.
I think you hit it on the head when you said melancholy.
Mm.
You know, it's like a lot of times when we write songs or we write period, you know, you're whatever mood you're in and stuff. And then sometimes a phrase or a lyric or whatever just takes you to a different place. You know, he just sang that straight up. Not a lot of chord changes in the song. The arrangement actually complimented them. I mean, he doesn't really use a lot of arrangements and stuff like that. But
the strings are, you can really hear them because there's not a lot of else going on.
Yes, exactly.
Know? And so, I don't know, there was some class string arrangements. These days, they do all that stuff on the synthesizer mostly. You don't get that string orchestra as often. There's the odd person that still does it, but I mean, it's definitely, you're going to have a budget for that production.
Was that a latter day Bill Withers?
No, that's still back in that era.
So that's before the turmoil started. Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's still back in that era. It's just not as well known. I mean, I would say that's no later than 75.
Okay.
Anyway. But another artist, let's hear another slightly unknown song by an artist that's got so many well-known songs, Al Green, you know? I mean,
he's got a song by Al Green, David, that I haven't heard? Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is
That's my man.
This is Deep, Deep Soul. It was a B-side of a single, and it's called Strong as Death, Sweet as Love.
Damn, never heard of it.
Strong as death, sweet as love, with the grace of a dove, oh babe. Let me in your life. We don't have that much time, there's no need in us crying. Hey, baby, I'm in the mood for love. If I could tell a story of just how it was. There were you and me before there was love. It was a sad thing.
How's that one, Jason?
I tell you, that was dynamite. I do believe it was very good. I'm blown away. I haven't heard that song in my life, and these have been around for 50, going on 60 years now.
That was only on a 45, a B-side of a 45. But with soul music, Mike, those two examples, Bill Withers and Al Green, they were pouring out number one singles.
Mm-hmm.
But Al Green, of all people, and I guess Bill Withers the same, hidden gems on their albums that didn't get the attention.
You never heard them do filler. Mm-hmm. You know, you never heard like they, well, I'm just throwing this in there so I can complete this album. And we know soul music has generated more famous B-sides.
Oh, yeah.
Than A-sides in a lot of cases and stuff. And mm-hmm. this is no matter where it is. So Al Green doing what he's doing, this would be the kind of stuff that the local station would play down there. But obviously it wouldn't go any further than that unless it just literally took off.
Regional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless somebody did something like Ooh Child did and actually turned the record over and they were like, oh, look at this. So
A Frankie Crocker or a real tasteful mm-hmm. DJ would find those gems. In the case of that, this book written on Southern Soul music, Peter Gernick, I believe his name was.
Yeah, Peter Gernick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gernick. Mm-hmm. He put a little discography of some key songs, mm-hmm. and I remember that was one of them, and I read that back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And, but, yeah, let's tie this to Jason Hoover's story here in Vancouver, and we were talking about this TV show in 67, and on this one, you do a Temptations song, Since I Lost My Baby. Do you remember that, Jason?
Oh, gosh, you're making me think way back. You know, I can't remember very much after about 2 or 3 months. Alzheimer's.
But you were young. Yeah, we're going to show you this. You were young and fresh at the time.
Oh, and pretty. Look at that.
Oh, oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, but here he was, live in Vancouver, British Columbia, on a nationally broadcast CBC show. And he does several tracks, including Marvin Gaye. But here... the first one we're going to play is this version of Since I Lost My Baby. And that's almost all. It's actually at the end of a TV show. You can find that on YouTube, Jason Hoover, live in 1967. And that's Howie Vickers.
David, I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
That's Howie Vickers from The Collectors, who was there with you as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was that all about?
Oh, well, I used to do a lot of shows, and he was always the host. And... he tried his best. I mean, I remember going to see Vickers a long time ago before the show and asked him if he could, you know, he had a company that made commercials. And I asked him if he could please, you know, I could use the work. You know, I mean, I could, some, the black voice, all the black voice you want. He says he had the black voice. I said, who's that? He says, me.
So this is a nationally broadcast TV show back then, and The Collectors, they had the number one hit in San Fran the summer before, and that was your manager, Jack Hirshon, that worked with The Collectors. So the other powers that be, Jack Hirshon came up from Los Angeles, right? And he got you to change your name to Jason Hoover, and that would have been in 67, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was the beginning of Jason Hoover, if you look it up on YouTube.
I still debate that because I did get married, and I was married as Gerald Henderson, but people started to call me Jason rather than Jay. Jumping
yeah,
Jay, you know,
exactly.
My wife never did stop calling me Jay.
Because in 66, you were still Jay Hoover on the poster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was only 67, which is, funnily enough, right when Jack Hirschhorn first showed up.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, well, let's watch another track, and this is local Vancouver soul music history. This is Jason doing Marvin Gaye and Hitchhike.
It really is history, isn't it?
How sweet it is to be loved by. Actually, we're going to start with How Sweet It Is. Oh, yeah. How sweet it is to be loved by. There it is, Jason Hoover in 1967, I kid you not, doing Marvin Gaye Hitchhike. Is that crazy or what? Like, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't pay attention to that one at first. Amazing, hey, Mike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, I'm thinking as they're doing this, because he's only getting like a minute and a half of each of these things, they're running all this in medley. So they must have had a menu of what songs you had to play that night so that the band covers it, so they can get their residuals and get whatever they were going to get from Motown. Because it had to be contractual that they're going to play this stuff, because obviously it's all exposed.
No, that's right. It's national TV. Of course they had a deal somehow, some way, but they had a genius running the show and producing it. He, you know, he had it down. He knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be sued. He wasn't going to be taken in. Mm-hmm. He made sure everything was done properly to the T.
Yeah, I mean, it's monumental local. I mean, if you consider, Jason, you know, for local black soul music history, you know, you're on TV in 67, in 68, in 69 with Trials. Your Mushroom album was the only album by a black artist here in Vancouver in the 70s that I know of, you know, especially the only one that was marketed in any kind of a way.
Yeah.
And but then you look at... yeah, I mean, it seems the earlier years, in a way, they were just getting their Canadian content by having you sing the Motown songs. What do you think of that, Jason?
I know that's true.
but still, you did them well, though. I mean, those are credible versions.
At that time, I did the best I could. We had a band, this Lawrence's band, Paul Lawrence, and he was the saxophone player. He had the band, and him and Buckley, and sometimes I forget the drummer's name, but he was one of the best. They could do anybody. They bring in acts from all over the states, and they didn't have a band. They just fly in with their suitcase and their music and hand it over to these guys, and they would perform at the Cave or the Yizzies or whatever concert out at Peony. They did all that.
But that's part of the problem, because all of those shows that were out then, you're talking about 67, and you're also talking about Shindig and Chivalry and Hollywood
this
Go-Go.
This was made to be like Shindig.
Hullabaloo. All of those, they always had a house band. Unless a specific group was on, they always had a house band.
True.
And they knew they would have to be very careful with playing copyrighted stuff unless it was already arranged that they were going to do this and everybody got a piece of the show. You know, because Shindig would actually introduce, you know, new band, the Bo Brummels. You know, they would come out with something and whatnot. And All I'm saying here is that they could have threw you a bone.
Well, you can see that Jason Hoover, because of what you were like live, because you were out there in the clubs for promoters to see, that it was apparent to people that you were someone that they wanted to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that's what's apparent by doing TV. Like, here you are doing next. We've got you doing a Four Tops song.
Okay.
So, you know, these are the golden early days, the youthful Jason Hoover.
Wow. Tease me. Go ahead.
And here's Howie Vickers for a moment. There it is, live in Vancouver, British Columbia. And that's Lynn Brooks. Tell us about Lynn Brooks, local soul.
Man, she
came
fantastic.
Up from the States, right?
Yeah. Well, no. She's definitely from a Canadian girl.
Mm-hmm.
She from west to back east. She's got family up the yin yang. Yeah. So, she's a Canadian girl. I'm very proud that I worked with her. She was talent as much as me, if not more.
She didn't get recorded, though. Didn't get records though.
You know, you got to be patient, and you got to have a lot of doors slammed in your face before people will believe.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is one chance, and if it goes, and you got people knocking at your door.
We're talking to local soul legend Jason Hoover here on African Rhythms Radio here on CITR, and we're reliving some of his earliest moments of coming from Edmonton to Vancouver, being part of the top group, the Epics. But here he was on TV with the Collectors. Another band that Jack Hirshaw and his manager managed, and they just asked you to come along, and you just grooved on with the Collectors band. What's with that?
Well, what happened was that I liked Jack. Jack liked me. We were friends before we were any kind of partners or doing anything to music together.
Mm.
And I realized and respected the fact that he was a manager for Howie Vickers and the Viscounts or the collectors, you know, whatever. So I, one day he says, have you got anything out on wax? I says, oh, yeah, I had this one thing, you know, Ray L. Johnson and I, we put a thing on it together. Mm-hmm. It's dead now. I mean, the stuff peeled off. Yeah. Off the plate, you know, it wasn't really a record. It was just, you know, something.
And he helped you get your first record out.
Oh, that was all Jack Hirshaw, man.
Yeah, King Size, right?
Yeah, King Size. It was all Jack Hirshaw. And at that time, I had the number one band in BC, and that was the Epics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it had been Barry Collins and Jason Hoover and the Epics. We called ourselves the Soul Brothers, and we had a hit.
And then Barry Collins left, and then it was Jay Hoover, and then it was Jason Hoover, and then the song The Epics made together became the Trials of Jason Hoover's first song.
That was Jack Hirschman's idea about it.
I just want to point out, look at the bang that they got for their buck. In less than 5 minutes, he did Marvin Gaye, David Ruffin, and Levi Stubbs.
Levi Stubbs.
I mean, like, you know, you can't beat that with a stick.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I mean, this is Vancouver history. You can look all that stuff up on YouTube, folks. Mm-hmm. Jason Hoover, and put in Let's Go as well, the TV show, and you can see several different shows.
How long did that stay on air, David? Do we know? We have an idea. How long did Let's Go run on air?
Let's Go ran until the late 60s, but I don't have any evidence it went any longer than that.
No.
But what we have discovered that we haven't seen yet is that the Trials of Jason Hoover, Jason's psych soul, psych rock band, did do a live gig at the CBC nationally broadcast. Mm-hmm. So we're yet to see it, but this is going to also be integrated into this documentary we're working on on local soul, and Jason Hoover is the star of the show. So why don't we go into Betty LaVette? Now, there's somebody on the deep soul side of things.
Yeah.
Now, this is her signature tune, and this is a track called Your Turn to Cry.
Your Turn to Cry.
You treated me like a fool. I even gave up right for wrong. Trying to get along with you. When I wanted to hold you close, you were always too tired. Well, you had some place to go. Listen, Dad.
One at 1.9 CITR UBC Radio. Killer, definitive Southern Soul. Yeah, there's a slightly lesser known Jason, Betty LaVette, but man, does she bring the goods.
She was still she was the greatest, and she's still my favorite.
Yeah, no, I mean, she actually was on Motown a little bit later.
She was, but I had never heard that arrangement before. Yeah. That the original title, it starts with this big orchestration, strings, horns, and then she goes, cry, and then she goes into the song. This is more like the Malico, Southern soul flavored stuff. And I'm, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about Denise LaSalle, who died today.
Yeah, so that's considered one of the greatest ever deep soul
that's
Southern
a beautiful
tracks.
Track.
But you know, another artist I was mentioning to you the other day, that she was very early R&B and I suppose a little bit gospel, but Big Mabel is sort of a slightly overlooked
You gotta love Big Mabel. She's nasty. I don't mean nasty like Millie. I don't mean nasty like Millie Jackson nasty. I mean that gravel in her voice is nasty.
Yeah,
I
no, she's definitely she's deep, gritty, and here she is handling the Psych Garage classic, 96 Tears.
Rolling song.
Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying. Teardrops for one heart to carry on. You whip on top now, baby, since you left me.
Taylor, R&B from the mid-60s that crossed over to the Northern Soulheads. Oh, my God. It's so good.
Look, all I can say, if she get a hold of your ass in the midnight hour, that's a wrap.
And you end up in the mellow moonlight.
What's my name?
Well, I'm not sure if you've heard of the next singer. I'm digging out the really gritty early R&B style now. Janelle Hawkins.
No.
Yeah.
Was she from the Hawkins family?
I don't know, but...
The Hawkins singers.
Yeah, Tremaine.
Here is a huge track that's been done many times.
Well, let's hear this.
I want.
I heard.
I'm on the money.
That's right. I hold the money. That's the way it always had been, and it's going to be that way forever.
That's a reasonably credible version of money, I think.
I got it. It's got some jump to it. She's nasty. I like that
I'm kind of getting into that earlier R&B kind of stuff now. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's the greatest R&B. The earlier stuff was the best.
All right, well, here's another fellow from around that era, Gene Chandler.
Oh, my goodness. I just picked this record up in your store.
The smooth Chicago sounds. Mm-hmm. Gene Chandler. We used to play him back in the day on African Rhythms back in the 90s. No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow 65, Rainbow 66, Rainbow 66.
I think he did a Rainbow 80, too. He worked that rainbow to
really?
Death. Yes. But Gene Chandler, Curtis Mayfield, and mm-hmm. Jerry Butler, they were all...
They sound similar.
Exactly. Yeah. They all sound the same. Curtis was great at the arranging part of it. And remember, from the time Jerry was lead singer for the Impressions, they were always together. They all hung out together. You know, so anything coming out of Chicago has that stamp that Motown doesn't.
That's right.
Because Chicago was more varied. They didn't do a lot of mid-tempo. This is like your basic, we'd call it slop back in the East Coast or Carolina. They call it shag music or whatever, beach music. But it's a fantastic track. And they guaranteed themselves that Chicago people were going to back Chicago's sound. You know, as much as they like Motown, you were not going to get anything but Chicago music on Chicago station. And that includes the blues stuff.
Well, here next, we've got, we're going to go back to another favorite place we like to go to. The Hesitations were from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yep. We got to talk about Ohio at length because we forget. I mean, Dayton was funk, but Cleveland and Cincinnati are important because Cincinnati was King Records. And that's James Brown and Little Willie John. From that alone, they had a foundation in Ohio that was always about music, but they never went too far out of state.
Well, this is a pretty special track, popular with Northern Soul folk. And is this a way to treat a girl?
Uh-oh.
That is a priceless lead vocal. I don't know who that singer is. But
wow, that singer can get down, man. I mean, I'm sure Bobby listened to a lot of that. I heard some of Bobby Taylor's licks in there.
Yeah, you're right. Bobby Taylor does sound similar to that.
You know what's freaky about that track? There's a sax player named Lonnie Youngblood, and he recorded on the Turbo label of the Stang Sylvia Robinson family. And he did a track called Sweet Sweet Tootie, which was inspired by my mom.
Wow.
And the part where they're singing, you make me so happy, the way you blow your horn, Lonnie, blow your horn. That's exactly the same thing that was in the day.
They stole the riff.
They stole that riff.
Sure.
Hello, operator?
That was well done, though, Mike. The copyright.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you, another guy Mike and I celebrated, I played some for Mike in the 90s, and I've come up with an even more killer track, and that's some Down South again, mm-hmm. and this is Bobby Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm concerned about you all the time, baby.
without a doubt one of his finest songs. And as we've looked up, he's from Dallas, Texas.
That's intriguing because they had Dow. Joe Tex was a major artist there. You had Little Johnny Taylor, a couple others. But what was significant about that, as we were talking about Jason and the music he was doing with the Epics from 65 to 68, Cashbox had put out their hot list of soul tracks, and Dallas was represented. They had artists on the Texas labels there who were participating in that time frame. So my point is this whole geographical thing about soul music wasn't just so much about exposure as it was the desire for those folks there. Just like Gene Chandler and Jerry Butler desired to create a sound there, they had a similar thing going in Texas, but there was other types of music going on in Texas as well that dominated the market.
So. Johnny Winters and Edgar Winters.
Well, I mean, Bobby Patterson, he'd produced for Fontella Bass, Chuck Jackson, Ted Taylor, you know, the Montclairs,
Montclairs,
you know, Little Johnny Taylor.
Little Johnny Taylor was one of the greatest. Now, you can't get him confused with Johnny Taylor.
No, yeah,
he was part-time love.
Part-time love, bro. Mm-hmm. You're going to find me a part-time love, man.
I suppose the brown skin look.
Jason Hoover style. All right, well, I'm David Love Jones. We've got a special guest, Jason Hoover, Vancouver soul legend, and Michael Ingram, back from Philadelphia. And we're going to go next to Chuck Jackson. How about that?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yes, indeedy. Chuck know how to play.
Will you let me have all of your loving and affection? Yeah. Will you give me your heart and leave it under my protection? Yeah. If you will, I want you to be my wife. If you will, I'll love you for the rest of my life. Hand it over. Hand it over. Now, honey, please don't wait until tomorrow. No. Give it to me now. Put it in awkward. Only bring me sorrows. Yeah. Say you need my arms around you every night. Baby, please tell me everything's all right. Hand it over. Hand it on over. I need it now. Hand it on over. If you really want me, yeah, I will be a happy man if you would really love me sincerely. Come on, baby, take me for a ride. I know, mama, this has got to be the night, so hand it over. Hand it on over.
Raw R&B soul, Chuck Jackson, not being not so subtle.
No, not so subtle at all, and a rare up-tempo one by Chuck, too. He's known for being a balladeer, but, I mean, that was like the male version of Big Maybell. Hand that over. Give me them draws. He ain't playing around.
Well, he was really, really fantastic. Chuck Jackson, he laid down, you know, his music, and he's a legend, especially in the South. I'm unfortunately, Chicago and New York are the only northern cities that possibly jumped on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Regional again, just like your music was regional. Some of this stuff didn't pop out. Like this next impressions track, probably not super well known, but you know, I mean, again, when a band has, you know, like we were saying, Al Green earlier or whatever, when they have 5-10 signature big songs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things can majorly go under the radar, even though they're sometimes better than the other songs.
That's
you know?
True. And they had three lead singers. So obviously that's a lot of material to do original stuff with.
You know, I can't satisfy.
Really puzzling, just which melody came first, this old heart of mine, even a bit of Four Tops in there I was hearing.
You better believe it, it's all in the same thing. It's like they kidnapped the Funk Brothers and said, give me this track. Yeah.
Isn't that bizarre, like in Chicago, how they would, is that how big Motown was, that they felt they had to do their own version? That's weird.
I just think Chicago was more creative because Motown was dead set on doing mid-tempo stuff. You weren't going to hear Between the Sheets, Give Me That, You Know What. They would be sweet and they would be melodic, like Ooh Baby Baby. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a love song and it's a slow song, but it's not a make a baby song.
But Mike,
Chicago was making babies.
I'm looking at this record, Can't Satisfy the Impressions. Mm-hmm. Curtis Mayfield songwriter. Like, how can you take that much of another song and then call it your own?
Wow. Well, I think back then they probably would have been in court given what we do. Well, I mean, seriously, given what we know now with sampling,
yeah,
you know, there would have been a few court cases going down.
That's pretty fascinating. But let's get back to that other guy that we exposed the Northern Soul track from, Little Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And let's drop that one again. Mm. But Little Anthony, I mean, Tears from My Pillow.
Tears on My Pillow.
Tears on My Pillow, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just was, two kind of people in the world.
I think I'm going out of my head.
They're going my head. Yeah, I'm on the outside looking in.
There. Yeah.
And his instrument has remained one of the most long-standing and best instruments over standing the test of time. I mean, he's been singing like, 45, 50 years?
Well, here's a track that appealed more over in the UK to the Northern Soul people.
Down, I ain't getting you out.
the incredible Little Anthony. And you can really see how when people talk about Northern Soul being Motown soundalikes, but on other labels or by more obscure people, you can really see how there's multiple examples of that. And there's yet another Little Anthony.
No kidding.
Gonna fix you good.
And he didn't. And he really wasn't singing. I mean, we've heard the range of his voice. So he was just kind of like, yeah, I'm in a good mood, and he just ran that off. His vibrato, though, has always been his signature. You mm-hmm. always hear that flutter in his voice.
You can hear his talent, but, yeah, he doesn't give you too much of it is basically it. You know? But getting into the 70s, and, you know, Bobby Taylor, after he left Motown, one of the early collaborations, Jason, he had was on this label. And it's a label called Sunflower. And he just did a one-off single on there. And when I interviewed Bobby, I was lucky enough to interview him, he talked about how basically this single, There Are Roses Somewhere, Hal David wrote it, but through his brother, so he was basically a ghostwriter. Mm-hmm. So he put his brother's name on it, but it was really the big one.
Intriguing.
Hal David, you know, one of the biggest songwriters of all time. But he, obviously he was under, obviously he was under contract. So, you know, that meant sometimes you have to do it. But in terms of international appeal of Bobby Taylor, this is one of his tracks that's the most revered, you know, and it's rare, you know.
Do you think this was something that was done as a favor?
Yes. In fact, Bobby Taylor said so. That was a good call on your part, Mike. That's exactly what it was. It was a payback, and that's exactly what this track. And you can call Bobby Taylor a local Vancouver legend because he might have come up from the U.S., but like Jason pointed out, his father was from Red Deer, Alberta, and he was a Native Canadian First Nations. So isn't that an interesting connection with the story of Bobby Taylor? One of the greatest underground international soul tunes. And the singer we can partially call our own. That's Bobby Taylor. And Jason Hoover here can call Bobby Taylor a friend.
I really can. We related on so many things, and we did get time to play together and party together. Just phone each other. Even when he went over to Hong Kong, we kept in touch.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it a parallel, Jason, how you were both black artists in this town that both made multiple records and were mistreated, really, by the powers that be at times, and the media.
Yeah, no joke. You got to remember, when you guys were out, there were probably 8 or 9 multi-ethnic acts. And very rarely did you have an incident where you had 2 black men fronting predominantly white bands as the principal artist. You know?
We were there.
That's not an accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, if you look at the fact that Bobby Taylor came back to Vancouver and spent quite a lot of years here, there was the first stint in the Elegant Parlor and meeting Little Daddy and the Bachelors down in San Francisco, coming back and forming Bobby Taylor, going to Motown, and then coming back in the late 70s and settling with Motown for a chunk of change, you know, which should have been a much bigger chunk of change, but he got powerful enough lawyers to at least settle, you know, so he got some money.
It's a damn shame that he had to go through that, because you have to realize, if he hadn't gotten his money, then you know the other artists hadn't gotten their money. And that led to that big haul off where the Four Tops, Gladys, a lot of the groups left, because what they didn't say was that Berry Gordy had ripped their asses off.
Well, Berry was working for more powerful people too than him. And we won't name names, you know, because that's not kind. But you know, there was politics there.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? If he didn't have the lawyers behind him, he would have gotten screwed too.
Yeah. Well, there was a point, shall we say, later on, that Jason met Bobby Taylor. And one time, what did Bobby Taylor do? He whipped out a $1,000 bill.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to impress me. I was very impressed, because I never seen an American $1,000 bill. He liked the look on my face. You know, hey, Bobby and I had things going on between ourselves. So it was great. He was a great buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that was a great tune. But, you know, we're going to go back to Chicago for a moment, because I learned something new about black culture this week. And I was reading my book that I'm reading on Northern Soul. And he mentioned that the Iceman in black culture means when the husband's out and you explain it, Mike.
The Iceman cometh. Go ahead.
Hey, he's the black version of the milkman. Later on, we called him Jody, or at least Malico called him Jody, but you get the idea.
So the Iceman kind of got into some trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jerry Butler's next, and Walk Easy.
Son. Jerry Butler was one of the finest singers, man.
When I was a very small boy,
just a small boy,
I looked through the cornfields and wondered,
wondered
if every man had his own piece of land. So he'd never know hunger. Oh, but time quickly rolled along.
Yes, it did,
I grew up and I left home. Lord knows I'm sorry I ever left. I see people starving to death. But you walk easy, my son. It's what my daddy said to me. Said you be a man and you learn all you can. And I declare someday you'll be free. Oh, I remember one rainy day back home.
I remember
Sally Brown's house burned down.
Yes, it did now.
And everybody had to lend a helping hand. Folks came from miles around. They didn't do this expecting something in return. They simply did it because they cared. And these were the kind of folk, if they had anything at all, well, they were more than willing to share. And Daddy said, you walk easy, boy. Yeah, and when your trouble get to falling like rain, yeah, I want you to understand you can't trust every man, cause it'll only bring you pain. In this big old world, I hear strange words like pollution, and I see a man that needs a helping hand, have to go somewhere and find his own solution. I said, oh my Lord, how this old world has changed.
say, God save us all. Yeah, I hate the day that I ever came. This world is heading for a great big fall. And you walk easy, son. Yeah, that's what my daddy said to me. He said, you know you can't trust everyone. Hey, 'cause it'll only bring you misery. You walk easy, my son. Hey, and when your trouble gets a falling like rain, oh, don't you try to trust everybody, child. 'Cause it'll only bring you pain.
Surprisingly socially conscious early 70s soul.
This thing is loaded. People need to check out who's on this album.
Yeah.
He's got Gerald Sims, Skip Scarborough, Terry Callier, Donnie Hathaway. I mean, obviously they respect
the who's who.
They respect Jerry. And yeah. They put a lot of work in on this. And yeah, the lyrics, socially conscious and stuff. And this is the album that had the major track, Ain't Understanding Mellow.
Yeah, we played that back in the 90s mm-hmm. on the show. But yeah. Walk Easy, Son is one I always wanted to play for you. But mm-hmm. there's just something kind of beautiful about it. You know, it's not like big show off or anything, yeah. but there's just something really nice about it.
And he's got that easy style. He and Luther Vandross share that thing where they'll hear the groove, and it seems like they may be behind it all because they're not singing in tune with it, but they're perfectly in tune. And they just take their time when they phrase and whatnot as they're singing the song. And
yeah, it's phenomenal. And I love the little inflections. I mean, you know, Marvin and Stevie mm-hmm. went very socially conscious, but you can show that other people were also yep. reflecting on what was going on around them. And mm-hmm. I mean, certainly Curtis Mayfield was. Mm-hmm. So why would Jerry Butler not be himself? But, you know, another artist that was coming up that, you know, we're always celebrating over the years because of the massive pop crossover, but Earth, Wind & Fire were a force to be reckoned with mm-hmm. themselves, you yeah. know, their own world. Brazilian Rhyme, of course, was just a very short track mm-hmm. That was on the end of one of their big albums. But its connection to hip-hop is kind of monumental.
It is one of the oldest hip-hop grooves that were ever established. When they play that bio, everybody goes nuts because it all drops. You know, yeah, all that stuff. As they're modulating vocally and whatnot, the crowd is just getting all worked up.
Got a Bailey's too much.
Yeah,
truly is a live jam. I mean, you could say it's in the studio, but yeah. I mean, these guys can drop this heavy groove mm-hmm. in a live setting like no other. Only Kool & the Gang at their peak and yeah. other people like that.
show, man.
Caramelito, ven conmigo, yo soy el Willow Man.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Skulls Hall Talk Radio. The Willow Band, and before that, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the full version, Mike.
That I had never heard the full melodic version of that.
Yeah.
Because they always drop the break and everybody would go crazy dancing and whatnot once that buildup starts and all of that. But.
Yeah, no, that is an epic tune. And can you imagine if that had actually been on the album, you
no
know?
Shit.
Because it's actually credible, the full version of the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Did you like that, Jason?
Oh, it was excellent. The first time I've ever heard it, too.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're going to sneak another one in. We're running out of time.
Uh-oh.
But how about David Ruffin?
How about it?
Oh, I love David Ruffin, man.
The past is never forgotten. It merely takes its place in empty space of each yesterday. I was out riding, so I rode. So I rode by where we used to stay. The flowers that we planted are still growing in the yard. I can still smell the fragrance as sweet memories return to my heart. And I pulled over to the curb and stared aimlessly at the door. It was hard to imagine we didn't live. So I rode by where we used to stay. I was out riding. I stopped and got a car wash that afternoon. So I rode by where we used to stay. Listen, the people we knew and trusted have all since then moved away. But I can still hear their gossip through the silence when I think of yesterday. Sunny day, so I rode by where we used to stay. Faded
the incredible David Ruffin, I Rode by the Place We Used to Stay.
I love that. That's just beautiful touch dance music.
Yeah, no, I had some fun tonight. I'm dug deep into the soul, like we like to do here on African Rhythms. Did you enjoy it, Jason?
Well, you know, there's another song I never heard from any, you know, David Ruffin is one of my favorites, and I mean, I'm always blown away by anything he does.
He's got class. I mean, you know, if you can say that's from the disco era, that's probably one of the classiest dance soul songs that you could possibly imagine. I mean, Ruffin knew how to put a touch of class on
well
something.
Well
done. Yeah, you know, Ruffin was class. But, I mean, basically, that's soul music, you know. It's you think you know somebody, you think you know David Ruffin, and he's got a track that good that's unknown, you know. What do you think, Jason? Who's one of your favorite soul singers?
I have to go back to who we listened to earlier, Al Green. I think that he is such a phenomenal.
Mayfield. Who'd be one of yours, Mike?
Curtis is definitely one of mine, not just for playing, but for arranging as well. Yeah, he makes everybody sound better. You know, he pretty much arranged all the Five Stair Step stuff when they first came out and made their sound not so bubblegummy as, say, the Jackson 5 stuff was.
Right. Well, you know what? We're ending with one of yours, Jason. We're ending with Freedom Train, and this is one of your final things you did with the Trials of Jason Hoover. So this would have been about 71, 72.
Yeah.
And what a class song it is. So the bed track was laid in Los Angeles?
Yes, it certainly was.
Yeah.
But before it was laid down, they had some sort of piano, drums, and bass. And I sang on it, so I knew exactly the tempo. I knew where the grooves were going to be. And then they came back with the track up, and it was so fine to sing to. I said, wow, man, this is going to be a hit.
Awesome. Well, that's how we're going to end African Rhythms. But take it out, my man, Mike.
All right, from Castlegar to Comox.
All right.
From Nanaimo to New Westminster, if you want to know where the soul trees grow, the roots of all this good stuff can be found right here. African Rhythms.
African Rhythms is out of sight.
Peace and love to you.
I forgot to say something to my sister. Oh, well. Keep her in tune for next time. Hey, Marla, if you can hear me. I love you.
Than fit on your parents' fridge? In lectures, does note-taking sometimes distract you from your doodling? We know how you feel. VASA, the Visual Arts Students Association, is here for you. You can submit your masterpiece for our upcoming show.